May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
They were having a great time with Jesus, those disciples. It had been an amazing season of their lives. They'd seen him do healings, exorcise the demon-possessed, restore disturbed people to sanity and peace. They'd heard his electrifying teaching. They'd been stunned by the wonderful stories he told. They trusted that the kingdom was breaking in. And best of all, perhaps, he'd chosen them to be his friends. They'd been having an amazing time, but it would suddenly change. They got into a boat to cross the lake. Nothing strange or worrying about that. Several of them were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. But as the journey progressed, it all went wrong. A storm blew up, and suddenly they knew they were no longer in control. The sea, that ancient symbol of evil, death, and destruction, roiled up in front of them. The boat began to flood, and they feared they would sink and perish. And Jesus? He was doing nothing. He was asleep, oblivious to their plight, deaf to their need. I felt a little bit like that on Wednesday of last week, and I think some others among us did too. I'd had a glorious early morning in the garden, 90 minutes of bracing gardening in the early sunshine. Now, my garden isn't quite Eden, but it's a little echo of that place, a location of colour, light and warmth that morning. I was experiencing God's creation in wonderful glory, bursting with life. The garden was a great place to be. I felt alive, created, blessed to be on this earth. When I came inside the house, the storm blew up, a message on the answer phone. The church has been broken into. There's an awful lot of damage. So I came down to see, and found folk gathering for the 10 o'clock Holy Communion. The church was unusable. A window in the porch had been smashed. There was glass all over the floor. Doors had been forced and broken. There were planks of wood and splinters and dust everywhere. The aumbry in the Lady Chapel, the safe where we keep the reserved Holy Communion, had been desecrated. The silver vessels emptied and stolen. The wafers of the host, the body of Christ, just strewn all over the table. And when we got to the vestry, we saw it had been broken into and ransacked. Church property had been taken, though we didn't know quite what then. But my robes had been thrown on the floor and trampled, and various bits of church furniture had been destroyed or damaged, chief among them the bent cross, which is before our nave altar today. And there was a feeling in the place that it had been touched by violence, evil, disorder and destruction. This holy place, for this is what it's meant to be, had been desecrated. For this is a place devoted to the worship of God. A place where what we do and say is meant to call us to worship, to the heart of our human being, to remind us of what we're really made for and placed upon this earth to do. The worship of God. We read about that in Revelation chapter 4 today. We read of the worship of heaven, the heavenly creatures, the elders, worshipping and praising God. And as chapter 4 and 5 go on, we find that the whole company of heaven, that's what they do. They praise and adore God for who he is and what he's done. And that's our purpose, our destination, our end, the glory and praise and worship of God. And before we do that completely and utterly in heaven, a place like this is there to train us to worship while we live on earth. Not only to worship God in the things we do on Sundays and other days, but to worship him with the whole of our lives. 7 whole days, not 1 in 7, as George Herbert puts it. To worship God by responding to him in love of our neighbour, in service and care and generosity for the vulnerable and the needy. To worship him by embodying the values that Christians try to live out. Love and peace and forgiveness and joy. To worship him by showing what the kingdom can mean. And this place of worship, this place where the holiness of God is known, had been invaded, desecrated. A house of peace and calm had become a theatre of anger, violence and destruction. And I think that made doubly painful all that we had to witness. Now, some of you saw that on Wednesday, some of you have heard or read or seen a bit of it in the last few days, but to some of you this will come as news this morning. But I know that many people will have experienced violence and evil of some form in their lives. Over the past days, people have been talking to me about how their homes have been burgled and how that felt, or how property has been taken. And how that's hurt them, especially when it's been precious or sentimental or spiritually significant. In the past, I've had people come to me and speak of assaults to their body, the pain that they've received, the wounds that their flesh and blood has known. One way or another, many, most of us are touched by some kind of violence or evil or pain in our lives. And it can leave us sinking, lost, helpless, like those disciples in the boat. And maybe wondering too whether Jesus is asleep, inactive, distant. So it was good on Wednesday that those of us who were here could gather for Holy Communion, which we shared in the hall. People were hurting, smarting, maybe confused, angry or sad. Some of us were beginning to speak of compassion for the perpetrators, whose lives must be rather empty if they're capable of such actions. Others, on the other hand, were just feeling pain and resentment. But however we might have been feeling, whatever we were thinking, we were blessed to be God's people in that Holy Communion. To be thankful that only physical property had been broken or taken. To be thankful above all that no thief could take what's most precious to us. Our identity as the brothers and sisters of Jesus, the body of Christ. Those gifts of the Spirit of faith and hope and love that make us Christian. No thief can steal our trust in the gospel of Christ's resurrection. Where is your faith? The moment seemed to be asking us. We tried to answer, in you alone, O Lord. It was good to be able to do that on Wednesday. It's great to be here together on Sunday, sharing in this Holy Communion. Sharing in the work of supporting one another through this particular moment, but in our general daily lives as well. Supporting one another in the pain that's touched this church community this week. And it's for that reason that I put the cross below our nave altar this morning. If you find it distressing to look at, let me say it will only be there this day. But I wanted it there this morning, for it is a powerful symbol of what we have been through, I do believe. When I saw it lying on the floor of the vestry corridor, I can't tell you how shocked I was at the sight. That instrument of love had been broken in a moment of violence. That symbol of the world's salvation had been used to destroy and steal. this precious token of who Christ is, and the grace he brings the world, had been used to try and batter down a door. It left me sickened. But as I've reflected, you know, I think that cross actually says who Christ is and what he does. He's the one who soaks up the violence and evil and sin of the world. He takes it upon himself. He bears its hurts and sustains its damage. And here, as we worship him, we should think of him doing just that. Bearing the pain, the violence that we knew on Wednesday, or all those hurts that you may have brought this morning. He bears them. He heals them. His resurrection sets us free. So like those disciples on the lake, we find moments in our lives which ask us Jesus' question. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Let's answer him today. Look upon that cross for a moment and tell him. It's in you, Jesus. It's in what you've done. Your victory, your grace, your love.